Dear Jesus, please forgive my reluctance and easily distracted feelings and help me to receive your heart with all of mine. Amen. These past few days, as I have entered into his rest for several hours a day, as he asked me to do, and have been blessed with a sublime love that is difficult to communicate. If you've ever fallen in love deeply, and the other person has also fallen deeply in love with you, and you are dancing together, for instance, your eyes penetrating one another's being, you can come close to understanding that feeling when Jesus looks into your eyes with overwhelming love for you. Nevertheless, I still struggle to keep that focus and receive it. He has tried every day to reach inside my depths with his love, and I get a fleeting taste of it, but then I lose it. Oh, it is so frustrating for me, and I can't even imagine what he's going through. Jesus began, "You just can't understand the love I have for you, Claire. It is way beyond your comprehension. Your person is so clogged with condemnation and self-hatred, it's very difficult for me to get through to you. Nonetheless, I try, and once in a while, like the past few days, and the time when I took you to your palace, once in a while, you get a glimpse. Ours is very much a working relationship, so switching gears doesn't come easy for you. I long to tell you just how much affection and profound love I have for you, but you are sometimes very reluctant to embrace my true feelings. In fact, the Lord has been complaining to my husband Ezekiel about this, that he's trying to get through to me and I'm just not there." Jesus continued, "Of late, you've been thinking about the facet of me that belongs to you. Oh, that is so correct. You see, each person is like a complex plug that fits precisely into the right terminal. Every single plug or makeup of a soul in the world is different. Different sizes, combinations, shapes, length, width, and depth. Every single one is unique and different. My father has different receivers for each plug, so to speak. Ezekiel cannot fit into your receiver, nor can you fit into his. Each baby that is born comes with their own blueprint or plug, and my father's desire is that someday that baby will grow up and of their own free will return to their origins to plug into their father. Only then can a soul be completed. Only then can my father feel completed, because that being he loves has returned to become a part of him again. This is why it is so tragic when a soul is lost. That very singular, unique outlet in the Father remains empty and incomplete. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is more painful to him than the absence of a soul for eternity. When you return to him, you connect it to that one in a billion socket from which you were created. You completed the circuit. Now you and I have a very unique and special relationship, and you see me very clearly, hear me clearly, and feel my deep love as well, as having a working relationship. And while I am infinite, I am presenting myself to you in those moments as the completion of your connection to the Father, so you can stand to look at me, speak with me, hold me, and be my spouse. However, when you are in corporate worship, you see the whole billions of circuits, and it's overpowering with light when you see us all connected as one whole and entire, rather than as your individual and unique part, your Jesus, your Father, your Spirit, the aspect of us that is uniquely fitted to you alone. And so it is with all souls. So the disparity in explanation that has troubled you is, why do some see the Father tenderly holding them as a child on his knee, while others see him as this huge, magnificent, overpowering person of tremendous force and illumination? When that aspect of him is revealed, he is revealed in his entirety. That is more power than you can possibly relate to. However, when the unique part of him that is yours appears, you are able to sustain a relationship. So at different times, it is personal and intimate. At other times, it is corporal, as in worship in heaven, when he is on the throne. Now, getting back to our love relationship, you have no way of understanding the infinite love you embody from the wellsprings of life when you and I are connected and are one. Here he's talking about being connected in the purest way. This is not about sex. It is about a spiritual union. He continued, "You appear to me as my soulmate, my completion, the creative expression of my very being, which is uniquely yours. And there is a transfer of energy in that you, independent of me, choose to unite yourself to me. When this happens, my glory is displayed in our union of hearts, and I cannot help but feel the most mighty and overpowering love for you. You, in a sense, are the singular completeness of the Father, the tiny circuit or plug that has a combination of terminals that no other soul was created with. For me, this is an ecstatic experience, just as it can become for you. The night you received me into your life, you felt that ecstatic union for 45 minutes, and that was just a foretaste of what you'll feel when we are totally one in heaven. It takes time to understand, assimilate, and function in this state. You become transformed into my state of resurrection glory. What I am saying, my love, is that what you feel when we are truly tuned into one another, what you feel is but a speck of what I feel, and I long to communicate that bliss to you, even share it with you. However, you hamper me by a screen full of filthy opinions about yourself, accumulated condemnations flung at you by demons, false notions of guilt, accusation, and the lingering stench of past sins that you find almost impossible to free yourself from. Truly, that is a job for me, but you have to let me into that holy of holies in your heart, so I can clean that refuse away, burn it away with my love and forgiveness, so that nothing remains between us to hinder. When you come to this place, you reflect my glory more perfectly, and your very presence is full of healing. This is why it is so important not to add anything to that screen by willful sin or doing anything you know in your heart is displeasing to me. This brings shame and guilt like a thick sludge to block your view of me. Knowing how good I am to you brings you to the point of avoidance because of guilt. This is how the demons manipulate you into a state of separation from me. Oh, he's God, he'll understand. Go ahead, he'll forgive you. Then after you've done it, you wicked, vile person, how can you stand yourself? God can't stand you. He can't. You're too filthy to be in his presence. And of course, you withdraw. And that is true. However, with confession and contrition, I wash away that guilt, and in time you can see me clearly again. But that does take time. During that time, there was something very important I wanted to do with you, and could not because you had breached my trust. The devils see this coming, so they set you up, so that what I plan to do with you cannot be accomplished until you repent and are fully restored in both my eyes and yours. My people, if you're serious about serving me, you cannot enter into willful disobedience. What is licit for one may be sin for another. For instance, if you're supposed to be fasting and you give in to gluttony and eat a double fudge sundae, you break our connection until you fully repent for having hurt me. On the other hand, a person going out for family night may have the same sundae and not feel condemnation. because it is allowed in my perfect will for that soul. Repentance takes time, my people. You don't just say, I'm sorry, Lord, and it's all over. There are residual consequences that take time to clear before we're restored. If it is a mistake you made out of ignorance, that can be washed away fairly quickly. The length of time depends on the gravity of how you betrayed my trust. That is what determines how long before we can repair the damage. Timing can be critical with a soul I'm trying to use you to reach. The devils know this, so they work very hard to tempt you and break that bond, so the soul I had in mind cannot be ministered to by you. Of course, they don't always know, but they surmise based on proximity and their observance of past actions of you both. So these are the anointing-robbing tactics of the enemy. When you are clean before me, you minister with confidence, knowing that I'm quick to answer the prayers of those who love me and demonstrate that by obeying me. And of course, there is that other dynamic, protection from temptation. My angels watch over you, Claire, but if you take it upon yourself to pass judgment on another soul, it creates a hole in your protection, and the demons gain entrance. And I allow this to convince you of your lowliness, your weakness, and potentially sinful nature, so you will not presume to pass judgment on anyone. You in my body who pass judgment on others, you're shooting yourself in the foot and losing massive amounts of grace. What you dream and hope for will be opposed until you learn to honor and esteem others more than yourself. The littler and poorer the soul, the greater offense it is to me when you make any kind of judgment against them. If you know and practice this way of thinking, even in the hidden chambers of your hearts, you will grow in grace and anointing in my kingdom. You will also be honored by the angels, who will come swiftly to your aid. They are gravely offended by the poison of presumption. Most of you already know this and are practicing it, but be especially on guard when someone offends you. This is a time when you are most vulnerable to lashing back with judgment. That is another reason I don't want you looking at the news. Much of it is a lie, and when you respond with condemnation of others because of a lie you heard, it is serious sin in my sight. Even if it's true, I would prefer for you to respond in charity for the offending souls and pray for them. And many times this attitude deprives you of the operation of the graces I have granted you previously. So you pray and wait for my anointing. Then after you get it, you squander it by judging others. And believe me, the demons watch very closely when you've been given a new grace, so they can provoke you to do something to lose it before it damages their kingdom of darkness. I tell you these things, my dearly loved ones, so that you can advance in holiness and the anointing to break the yokes of evil that have been put on our children. I count on you to follow this teaching because it is vital to your growth and the salvation of other souls who could have been touched by you. This is why when you visit heaven, everyone is so glad to see you, like a tail-wagging puppy. They've been healed of all their tendencies to size you up and judge you. In heaven, souls do not judge. They welcome you with love. And if you're headed for the trees to eat the fruit and drink from the river of life, they understand, because they too have passed that way. I have shared these things with you because I love you all so deeply, and I want us to function in the fullness of our potential, that you may be filled with my joy and that it spill out onto others. Walk in this way faithfully, and you will become holy, even as I am holy. I truly love you so very, very much.